prophecies of the Bible. If we read through this, it seems commonplace to us, but here you wrote history backwards, and you wrote it down, and then we have an advantage of looking backwards at it, and then hopefully we can see the power of your word, that you arrange the circumstances to fulfill your prophecies without crossing the free will of man. It's an amazing thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Daniel 7. In Daniel 2, the prophecies gives four worldwide kingdoms. And then the fifth one is the Antichrist, the worldwide kingdom. In Daniel 7, he has three of them. And then the fourth one is the Antichrist kingdom. In Daniel 8, you have two of them. Then the worldwide kingdoms. In Daniel 9, he mentions one of them. And then the Antichrist. In Daniel 11, he goes right into the Antichrist. So that's the progression down. Does anybody have a Scofield reference Bible? Anybody? You got one? Okay, you got one? Yeah, Scofield. So I got one, mine here. Okay, and there'll be a slight adjustment on how he interprets Daniel 7. And so we'll show you the difference, and then you can choose the one you want, the one that's wrong, and the one that's right. So, it doesn't matter. Sometimes people see a disagreement or something, and they throw the whole thing out. That's nonsense. Okay, this is the reference Bible that this church gave me in September of 1987, before I started down at Rensselaer. And this is the one I put all my notes in, and this is the one I used to make the reference Bible. But Scofield was one of the best reference Bibles. It gave a great foundation for the church from 1910 or whatever. Through those years. And so, unfortunately, people have abandoned it. So, Daniel 7. Okay, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Okay, so in chapter 6, we can see Belshazzar's been lost his kingdom. So, chapter 7 is obviously going back. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters, the sum or the summary of it. Okay, so if you would go to Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. Before there was written revelation, God would make his words known to a man through dreams and visions. I would assume that a dream is when a guy's sleeping and a vision if he's awake. And so Daniel had both, so it's probably one of those that you wake up, go back to sleep, wake up, go back to sleep. You ever have those dreams where it's such a good dream, you went back to sleep, tried to get to the back, to the good part, and it never works? In my dreams, I'm usually often preaching behind the pulpit in my underwear. I forget to put my pants on. Anybody have those dreams? I have those dreams. And then you're always running in slow motion. Yeah. So, Numbers 12:6. This is how God spoke to people before written revelation. So this is how he spoke to the majority of people he wanted his words to be made known to before Job and Genesis. And so 2,500 years go by without any written revelation. So Numbers 12:6, and he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." Okay, so that's how he talked to Abraham, Genesis 12, Genesis 15, 17, 18, 15, he was talking to him, gave him the covenant when he was sleeping, so it's an unconditional covenant. That's how he talked to Abimelech in Numbers or Genesis chapter 20, where Abimelech, he says, first thing he says to him, "You're a dead man. Thou art a dead man. First time the word dead's found in the Bible. So that's how God spoke to people before written revelations by dreams and visions. And then 2,500 years go by, and it seems like Elihu writes the book of Job, and then Moses writes Genesis to Deuteronomy. Okay, then time marches on, and so you get the complete revelation of the Bible around 400 BC, and then you find out who authorized the books in the Bible, and Jesus Christ is the authority, he tells us in Luke chapter 24. Okay, and so in Daniel 7, the Lord is giving prophecy to Daniel. So these prophecies, now we have a great advantage of looking backwards, so hindsight, so we do have a great advantage. I'm sure Daniel scratched his head many a time on this. And many of the prophets scratched their head on it, trying to figure it out. So the Bible is written by a God who knows the future, and then God will write down the script, okay, and then he will give thoughts and ideas to people to fulfill the script. These people will act upon these thoughts, thinking it was their thought, it's an original thought, they like the idea, they fulfill it. Okay, God doesn't force them to do it. And then everything God does is coming true. Okay, so in chapter 7, he had dreams and visions. Okay, and in verse 2, Daniel spake and said, I saw my vision by night. Okay, the usual idea by night. And again, I think this is a general idea. But I saw my vision by night. The church age time period is often referred to as night time. Okay, so you could go with that if you want. And then he says, behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. In this context, the sea would most likely be the Mediterranean Sea, because the Bible is built around Israel. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Okay, so right here is where, if you have a Scofield Reference Bible, you'll probably see that Mr. Scofield kind of divided them up, and then he will make, in Daniel 7, verse 4, he will make that Babylon. Okay, Daniel 7, 4. I'm going to check mine real quick. Okay, so he's got it divided up, world empire of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so that's four. Now, the problem with that is that when a person reads that, they can assume that because the idea is already offered to you. Okay, but the problem with that, what is the problem with that? Look in chapter 7, verse 17. And again, this doesn't make you or I smarter than Scofield. It doesn't make him a bad man, per se. It's just that he missed this. And we all can miss a lot of things. Chapter 7, verse 17, he says, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Okay, shall, future tense, shall arise. So who is the king when this was given to Daniel? Verse 1, the king was Babylon already. So all we have to do is jump at 1. So in verse 4, instead of being Babylon, that's Media Persia. And then instead of verse 5 being Media Persia, that's Greece. And then the next one's Rome. And then in verse 7, that's the Antichrist. So we're just going to jump it up 1. That's all that we're going to do. And then everything seems to fit better in a puzzle. Okay, now, we years ago, I had Waleed Shubat here. Okay, Waleed was raised in Jericho. He was raised a Muslim. He sang songs about Jews being pigs. He wanted to blow up some Jews. Okay, and then eventually Waleed got saved. Okay, and so he came to the States. He was more of a guy that would interview, you know, like news people and stuff like that. He was pretty good, pretty laid back guy. And so when I first heard about him, I asked him if he would come to speak to us on Bible geography. That's what I want him to speak on. And he said, well, I got to have 500 people and a $3,000 love offering. And I said, okay, no, that forget it then. Just forget it. And so then about 3 weeks later, I got a call back from him and said, I'll be willing to come. And I said, well, you ain't getting 500 people and we'll give you a love offering, but I don't know what it's going to be. Well, I still want to come. I said, okay, good, good. Some of you remember him? Yeah, okay. Waleed was a new King James guy. He liked to smoke his ciggies. So stuff like that. So when he was getting ready to get in a pulpit, I gave him a reference Bible. And he said, oh, King James. I said, yeah, a little bit. We had a lot of fun with him. But I adjusted some of my thinking on prophecy because of some of the things he said. Where he pointed out that we Westerners often interpret the Bible from a Western viewpoint. Okay, some of us are old enough to remember that Daniel's 10 toes were the 10 European kingdoms. Anybody remember that? Okay, at that time there was like 8 of them. And so then we're all getting, hey, when there's 10, your Lord's coming back. And then there was 11, and then 12, and then 13. Oh, well, maybe we got to adjust some things. Now, most prophecy guys, what they do is they read newspaper articles, and then they try to fit the Bible into that. When the Bible is telling you and I what's going to be in the paper, let the Bible determine it. Okay, and so the usual interpretation, and I think Doc has it this way also, okay, where he has verse 4, not Babylon, but he's got Media Persia, so that's right. But then he'll say that is England, if I'm remembering right. And then the beast, the bear, okay, he will teach that is Greece and Russia. Okay, that's how he usually teaches it. And then the leopard, that's the United States. Okay, so that's looking at the Bible from a Western viewpoint, and if a person wants to view it that way, I don't care. Okay, I'm going to look at it from an Eastern viewpoint because the Bible is a Middle Eastern book. And so I'm going to put it in verse 4, the lion is Media Persia, prior to Calvary, after Calvary, because often the Bible will have a twofold interpretation. After Calvary, what is Persia today? That's Iran. So I'm going to go with Iran on that one. Okay, the next one is Greece, prior to Calvary. After Calvary, that would be Turkey, the Ottoman Empire, okay, which is straight north of Israel. Okay, so the Old Testament Greece Empire was Alexander the Great. Okay, and then that comes into the New Testament would be the Ottoman Empire, or what's called modern day Turkey, or that general region. Okay, then the third one, and then we'll run through them, is the leopard. Okay, prior to Calvary, that would be Rome. After Calvary, that's the revised Roman Empire. Or the Roman Empire came around the Mediterranean Sea on the north side from Rome. It came all the way around, curved around, and then it came the five northern African nations. Morocco, Egypt, coming around there. That would be the Roman Empire all the way coming around. And I do believe that is the area it's talking about. All of these areas are Muslim-dominated today. Okay, now, we Americans, we tend to think that since America is so powerful, and America is basically the focal point of world missions, okay, where would missionaries be if it weren't for America? Okay, so we tend to think, well, maybe the Bible is built around America, but it's not. It's built around Jerusalem. Okay, if we believe the Bible to be true, it says all nations are going to turn against Israel, and that would include this one. Okay, now the reason why America generally is pro-Israel, and it has been through the years, is one credit would go to C.I. Schofield. Okay, he would bring what they call Zionism in. Okay, and America throughout its history generally has been a friend of Israel, even though behind the scenes, like FDR was stabbing Israel in the back. Okay, and we've got the United Nations on our property who stabs Israel in the back all the time, and America is putting in 50% of the money in the UN, which we ought to just pull it out and tell them to get lost. Okay, but some of this goes back to credit of C.I. Schofield and Clarence Larkin. Okay, many of your prophecy men basically stop at Larkin. If you read Clarence Larkin, you'll see a lot of material where Dr. Ruckman got his stuff from Clarence Larkin. And he's added to Clarence Larkin. Okay, so Daniel 7, verse 4. The first was like a lion. Okay, another idea is that these beasts in verse 17 represent kings and kingdoms. Okay, chapter 7, verse 17. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Okay, so what kind of animals are they? Are these animals that you want to put in your backyard pen, you know, go out and pet them? So this is how we as Bible believers need to look at world leaders in the political realm. Not somebody to trust. Not somebody to put your trust in. They don't get to that position by being nice to their grandmother. It was kind of interesting when Obama was getting to be elected the first time, his grandmother was sort of kind of causing a little stink here and there. She wasn't real appreciative of the dark race. And I said to my wife, I said, I wouldn't be surprised she dies 2 weeks before the election. I said this about a month before the election. And I wouldn't be surprised that it happens, and that will pull, yank at the heartstrings of people to push him into office. And guess who died about 2 weeks before the election? Now, I didn't send her the anthrax. But I was just kind of thinking they had to move somebody out of the way. Because that's obvious with the garbage that goes on there. So if we look at world leaders, okay, what we're looking at is a beast of prey hitting behind. And sometimes they are they flesh and blood people? I'm not certain. I'm not certain. I know that they're infested. They are infested with transgenderism. Okay? I just saw a picture of a dude that was part of the impeachment. And I showed that to Brent. And I said, what is this? He said, that's a dude. Yeah, that dude had long hair and a dress on. But that they did such a raunchy job on that one. I mean, it was so obvious that was a dude. And so that's part of the deception. It's all part of the deception. Mighty men of renown ran the world before the flood. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, so in verse 4, he said, the first was like a lion. Okay, like a lion. And had eagle's wings. So this thing's moving. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's hand was given to it. A heart was given to it. Okay, so now a person can put in, plug in all the details, what you think that he's saying. And you just have to be honest to say, this looks like that, this looks like that, I'm not sure. Okay, but this is a lion on walking on two legs. Have we not seen that symbol for England many times? Okay, walking on the back legs there. Okay, so prior to Calvary, this would be Media Persia. Media Persia was two nations placed into one. So this is the one that follows Babylon. This is the one that Cyrus and Darius was a part of. Okay, after Calvary, this is Iran. Okay, if a person thinks that this is England, fine, doesn't matter to me. Okay, the next one. So he's actually going to tell us who these are by name in chapter 8. Let's see if I get it real quick. Chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. So there's no guesses on these. Chapter 8, 20, Media Persia. 21, Greece. So the name's given. At that time, Greece, well, it really wasn't much in existence. At that time, Rome, which is going to be a world power, was a population of about 500 people. And then God just kept funneling into that until it became a world power. So for the Bible, you know, people a lot of times don't think about these things as far as the Bible. The power and the chance that a person is taking by writing it down, and then it comes true. That's what proves the Bible, the prophecies. That you cannot explain that. There's no way to try to explain that. Okay, a doctor can say, well, so-and-so is going to have a baby on such and such day. You can get it, you know, but the only way they can get it down to the science of a certain time is with a C-section. That's just because he wants to go golfing later in the evening. And even at that, sometimes it's iffy. Okay, so in verse 5, and I beheld another beast, a second like to a bear. Okay, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said unto it, thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. So these world kingdoms kill people. I mean, the thing about technology that makes it easier to kill people. Okay, historians have done a good job of making Hitler look like a bad guy, but for some reason they do not make Stalin look bad, and I think Stalin was worse than Hitler. Okay, Hitler, you know, I'm not justifying it, but Hitler's responsible for the death of 22 million people, but it's other people. Stalin was responsible for the death of 50 million of his own people. So both bad. Okay, both bad. Okay, can you imagine just somebody in that kind of position, how many people died? And the Antichrist is going to make both men look like a Sunday school picnic. Okay, so yeah, prior to Calvary, this would be Greece. After Calvary, this would be the Ottoman Empire. Okay, the Ottoman Empire was an empire, a part of Turkey. This came down as a result of Russia. Russia kind of conquered that or overcome that. But if you get online and type in the persecution or the massacre of Smyrna, and this took place in the Ottoman Empire where the Muslims came down in a little town called Smyrna, and they just pushed all those Christians right on into the bay and just massacred those people. Okay, that took place in 1922. During World War I, we had ships in the bay that were ordered to stand down as people were getting massacred and they could just watch it from the ship. Okay, and that's the Ottoman Empire. That's Turkey. That's where the mountains of Ararat are located. Okay, that's where Noah's Ark has been fossilized, and it's in the mountains of Ararat. That's the place where Ron Wyatt did studies, and he did studies with metal detectors and everything, and he laid it all out, and Turkey accepted the studies, and they put a little visitor center there, but nobody's going to go there. Who wants to go there? Okay, and that's all that stuff about the Bible. It's fascinating information. Okay, and so that's verse 5, devour much flesh. Okay, verse 6. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard. Like a leopard. Which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and the dominion was given to it. Okay, so historically this would be Rome. Pagan Rome. And then after Calvary, Papal Rome. Okay, where it's called Mystery Babylon the Great. Every single denomination, sometime within its history, taught that the Pope was the Antichrist. Pentecostals, Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterians. Somewhere in their history, they've taught that. Okay, but nobody says that today. Many of the King James Bibles, if you buy them in the bookstores, if you do find King James Bibles in the bookstores, will not put the two-page dedicatory in there. It's in the front. My Schofield Bible did not have it in it, and so I copied it and pasted it in it. And the reason why is because of the King James translators in there told you and I, the people who read that, there's going to be two oppositions you're going to have toward the King James Bible. One is popish persons, obvious. They call him the man of sin. And the other is self-conceited brethren. I'd call those Greeky friars. Okay, where they got to run to the Greek themselves. You're not good enough to do the translating. I'm going to do it myself. That's the two people that the King James translators warned about. And if you look at the history of the King James Bible, they are exactly right on that. Okay, in 1682, there's a fella, Dr. Tennyson, was preaching about the King James Bible way before Ruckman came into existence. Okay, and he was preaching about the King James Bible, and there was a Catholic Jesuit in town who preached against it about the King James Bible. So this guy was preaching for it, and the Catholic was preaching against it. And so people got upset and took the Catholic priest and threw him out of the pulpit. That was in 1682. Okay, and then the United States adopted the King James Bible. And then they would read the King James Bible in the first public schools of America in the 1840s. And a Catholic priest didn't like that. And so he burned 42 King James Bibles publicly. He's the first man to burn Bibles in America. Okay, and then it was Samuel Morris that wrote two books warning about Americans about the Jesuits infiltrating America, and he wrote those prior to 1850. So that's the same one with Morse code. Unfortunately, if you look at Congress and Senate and the Supreme Court, the Catholic Church will be the majority of the religions going through there. Okay, and the Jesuits, one of the areas the Jesuits will infiltrate is politics and education. So they will be the writers. Why are our history books so inaccurate? It's because Jesuits get in there and write the textbooks and they revise the history. And they don't call it the Dark Ages anymore. They call it the Middle Ages. Okay, that the Jesuits are the undercover soldiers of the Pope. Okay, and Chick Publications wrote several books about the Jesuits, but people have forgotten all of that, forgotten totally about it. Okay, so that let's see, 5, 6, leopard. Okay, the leopard. Okay, and it says the leopard which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, the beast also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Okay, verse 7. After this, I saw in the night visions. Behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. So we got the Iron Man showing up. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue of what? Jewish people. With the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So now we're dealing with the Antichrist. If you would, Revelation 13, verse 2. Okay, we know that Revelation is a parallel of Daniel. Most Christian colleges, they usually teach Daniel first, Revelation following it. Good pattern to follow. Revelation chapter 13, You have 18 verses, so that's 3 times 6. And in chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 is dealing, 1 through 9 is dealing with the Antichrist. And then verse 11, he picks up the false prophet. Okay, the Antichrist is described in verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and the feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. So we got our same three animals back in Daniel 7. And then he throws in this, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Okay, so the dragon would be Satan himself, Leviathan. Okay, and all these beasts, these crazy beings, if they manifested themselves in front of people, we would pass out. So what do? They shapeshift, they transform themselves to be men, mighty men of renown, men of debonair, men who have all this, you know, where the press is going to back them up and they're going to think that they're wonderful, great. Okay, and people, and they're going to fool the Jews. They're going to trick the Jews. The Jews are going to sign that agreement. And when that being's fangs come out and say, worship me, the Jews are going to say, oh, we got hoodwinked. He's the devil. And then he's going to start killing them right and left, sacrificing them in human sacrifice. The world will revel in the blood. Okay, and it'll be on all their little cell phones, all this stuff to be out there, and they can control people by cell phones. Aren't cell phones, they're so convenient, but isn't it a way to control people? You go to airports, four people sitting around a table, all of them look at their cell phones. They probably can't even talk, they probably got to text each other across the table, back and forth. Okay, but it's just like the yellow amber alert or any alert. Your phone gets going off. Okay, and so it's quite a way that the Antichrist can control people. I'm always amazed. You go to these poor cultures and they got cell phones. They don't charge them much like they do here because they want to make sure people get it. And so it's quite a ways to control people. So the Antichrist, lion, leopard, bear, the dragon, and he says in 2 Corinthians, and no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So Daniel 7, verse 7, you got to, or at the end, you got to 10 horns. So this is the common saying, 10 horn dictator. Okay, the 10 horns would match the 10 toes. Okay, and so these are, if you would, Revelation 17. Okay, Revelation 17, 12. What are the 10 horns? Okay, this explains why many political figures or secret societies will use an animal that has a horn. You know, the old Flintstones, the water buffaloes. You know, the moose, the elk. Okay, because a horn is a symbol of power. And so they get this from the Bible. The Bible's the standard. Revelation 17:12. The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So these are demoniac kings. Okay, now these kings will have a morning devotion together, and they say, we want to follow what God says. Chapter 17, verse 7. God is going to give those 10 demoniac kings the thought of yielding some of their power to the Antichrist. They are going to say, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. And they're going to follow the will of God of their own free accord. Revelation 17, 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now, they didn't do that with the intention we want to please God. They just thought it was a good plan. Down the road, we'll get our kingdom. That's how the Lord deceives these. If you would, how about John 13? Judas Iscariot, a devil incarnate. So this is how God, where he lays out his script, and then he'll throw words or thoughts to people, and then they act accordingly. Okay, the devil can do similar, but not as effective as God. In John 13, verse 2, and supper being in, John 13, verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Same procedure. God can put in the heart, the devil can put in the heart. Okay, and that's why he tells us that we gotta bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the devil can put thoughts in my head, and the devil and God can put thoughts in my head, but it's my responsibility to take that thought and judge it by the Bible and then act accordingly. So it's an amazing thing. Both can do that. This is how psychics often work. Okay, where a psychic will put a thought in a person's mind, and often they make the circumstances come true. And they've got years of experience, and they know what man's going to do, generally speaking. And so then this works out. Oh, my horoscope. And the devil's just using this eventually when a person puts their whole trust in, then he'll start taking them down a road to their own destruction. And so that's why Paul says in the New Testament, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, okay? And we got to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, a perfect example of that is Peter, okay? In Matthew 16, Jesus asked the guys, who do people say that I am? Peter said, well, you're the Christ. And he said, well, flesh and blood didn't show that to you, meaning God showed it to you. And then he said, oh, by the way, I'm going to go into Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer many things. And then Pete said, oh, no, it's not going to happen to you. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. People are shocked with that. But that is the power of words. I mean, in seconds, you can be depressed by words. You get up in the morning and boom, you get hit with something. And what you need to do is, okay, do I have evidence of that? If I don't have evidence, okay, then put it to a side. You say, well, what if it's evidence that's true? Well, deal with it when it comes true. Why worry about something if you don't have to? Okay, and so this is the thing we're all dealing with. And as we're sitting here, just think of all these words are floating between these cell towers and the radio stations and TV stations. All this stuff is running through the air. And if you smoke a little weed, you can pick up this channel and this channel, and you can pick up this channel all at once. You know? And that's how it works. So it's tremendous where we have a wonderful book where we can judge these things by. Okay, so that's up to verse 8, the horns. We'll come back to that. Lord, thank you for a book you've given us. And Lord, I do pray and ask you'd help us to be faithful to this book and help us to see the power of you, your words, your prophecies. Thank you that we do have some hindsight here. We could look at some things and we could honor you and adore you as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen.